Now let's bow in prayer together. Let's all pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for such words that we've just sung. We do know that there are various hindrances that meet us when coming to the mercy seat. We ask that you would help us together this evening as we think of your own self, as we think of your holy word that has been written for our learning. Help us, our Father. Bless us as we meet together in this way. We're coming to meet before you. And so we ask that you would speak with us, stir our hearts with those things that we should bring before you in our prayers. But help us too, as we read your word together, familiar old words from your book. But we ask that you would speak to us, and as we read, grant that it might be as though it were the first time that we have read the passages that we're going to read. Bless us and help us and encourage us in every possible way. For we ask all of these things in our Saviour's mighty and matchless name. Amen.
Amen.
Now we're going to read together from Psalm 23. Now that's probably just about as familiar as you can get. I remember Jeff Thomas saying once, years ago, that he went to an old folks home in Wales where he lived, and he was speaking, and nobody seemed to be aware of what he was saying, which is unusual when Jeff speaks. And then he had this wonderful thought: we'll read Psalm 23. And he said, he began to read it, authorised version back in Wales, and he said before he'd got more than a few lines down, a whole congregation in this old folks home were reciting it with him by memory, and he said he was well away then. He'd got the audience, as you might say, and they were off with him. Well, let's read from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless us as we think of that. Now, I'm sure you've had the same experience that I've had on many occasions when you've bought something, perhaps over the internet or on that sort of thing. It happened to us this morning. The telephone rang, and I didn't know who the lady was. She said, "Hello, this is Alison," or whatever her name was. "You bought some things last year." Oh, did we? And we just wondered how you were getting on with them. And the usual response is, "Wonderful." And I can't think what it was. And she said, "Now we've got a special offer on." And so thereafter selling you something else. Well, I'm not trying to sell you anything tonight, but I do want you to think back. And I want you, as it were, to get into the paw prints of a flock of sheep. The flock of sheep that is looked after by the good shepherd, by the Lord, by Jehovah, by Jesus Christ. And this psalm is filled with, as it were, the memory of sheep from what they've experienced over the years. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, what do they have to say? What has come? What does that sheep, what do you as a sheep of God, as a sheep of the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you remember about his dealings with you? Well, first of all, we're told that he has provided for my every need. I'm a sheep that has no real needs, no lack of what I'm in need of. I'm provided with all things that are necessary for life and for godliness. That's one of the things that we can say clearly before God this evening. I found resting places. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, in soft green grass. That seems to be the sense, rather than in a rough place. I've found men sleeping in all kinds of places. But as a shepherd of God, as a sheep of the flock of God, he's led me into cool places and green places. He leads me beside the still waters. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me by those cool places and the still water is where I can drink. The rough flowing rivers would terrify the sheep. The sheep wouldn't go anywhere near that. And so that's where he's led me. That's where he's taken me. But as we go through in verse 3, he restores my soul. I find that at times my soul wanders off and gets into lost places. Places where I suddenly look up, why have I come here? Why am I here? But my shepherd comes looking for me. And he often picks me up and leads me and carries me back to the flock. And he restores my soul. How often has this happened to us? He has restored my soul. And then he has directed me and in looking after me. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He's carried me back to the flock. He has restored my soul and he directs me into those ways that are so right for me. Ways that oftentimes I could never imagine ever finding again. He directs me in this way. The shepherd comes and leads me and takes me into these places. And the amazing thing is, according to verse 3, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. He's never done that because of something that I'm able to give to him. He leads me and directs me even for his own good pleasure. That's a remarkable thought. Some of my days, I've seen myself and felt myself going down long, dark lanes where it seems that death lurks on every side and at every turn. And even when that happens, it's not always been the same, but even when that has happened, I've walked down them unafraid. Unafraid. I fear no evil. I feel no evil. And the reason for that is because I have seen my shepherd use his side arms, the rod and the staff that he has in his hands. I've often felt these things used upon my own self. Years ago, in those never-to-be-forgotten times in the police, I used to work with a lad called John. I'll not give you his full name, but John was his first name, and genuinely. And John was the world police judo champion. He was a remarkable fella. I could tell you stories about John if we had the night to spare. But I never felt afraid when I walked with John. And I can remember going into a factory where there was a strike going on, an industrial dispute. That's a posh word for a strike. And there were four fellas in the office, and they wouldn't move. And they said the unbelievable things, John. If you want us out of this office, you're going to have to throw us out. And John said, well, whichever way you want. And they didn't believe, and they didn't know who he was. And when we asked them politely as a policeman can ask, they wouldn't go. So John said, well, one way or the other, either through the open door or out of the closed window. And one of them went out through the window. And John put them out through the window. And the other three weren't too keen on going out in the same way. They walked out quite happily. But I never felt afraid in that sense when I worked with John. Never felt afraid. Now, maybe that was because of his ability. But this passage before us, the reason that this sheep never felt afraid was because he'd seen his shepherd at work. And he'd seen his shepherd. And he knew that as that shepherd had that stick in his hand, the staff, and the sheep would tell you if he could speak, I've seen my shepherd put his crook around sheep like myself and lift them, and lift them. I've often thought of an incident that I witnessed at school, you know, the dreaded school Christmas plays, when everybody was dressed up for certain things. And there was one girl, Anne was her name, she was a little girl, she'd be about 11 I suppose at this time, and she was an angel. And she stood on the side of the stage, not doing anything, but looking like an angel, whatever angels look like, I'm not sure. But Anne was there, and I happened to look while the play was going on. I wasn't in it. Anne there looked ill, and she was wobbling. And I thought, she's going to fall off the stage. It was a proper stage. And then all of a sudden, one of the teachers put a shepherd's crook out round her neck and virtually dragged her off the stage before she fainted. Now, here, the shepherd, as this sheep is telling us, the shepherd would sometimes get his crook, his staff, and he would lift the sheep into a safer place. Now, little Anne was carried into a safer place where she wasn't going to fall. And this sheep will tell us what the shepherd has done. He would say to us, at times I've witnessed how the shepherd would defend his sheep when danger would come along, when various enemies would come. Lions, mountain lions and bears would sometimes come near the flock. And my shepherd would hold on to me. He might use his crook. He might protect me in that sense. But at other times, he would also protect me by prodding me with his rod. The rod would be used. And I felt the protection of his rod. I've been prodded into places where at times I wouldn't want to go. But his rod and his staff would comfort me. He would comfort me. Because my shepherd holds both the rod and the staff in his hand. What a comfort it is, the sheep would say. What a comfort to know I don't have any problem when I'm with my shepherd. I've also known him protect me in the presence of enemies when I've not been aware that there are enemies near to me, even eating companions. So close has my shepherd been to me, and I've never realized that those enemies were my enemies. But I've known that he's done that. I've often also felt sweet, refreshing oil being poured in abundance upon my head. And I felt that, and I've known the comfort of those things. Now the shepherd is talking to you. The sheep is talking to us together this evening. But we can talk to the sheep, to this particular one, and we can say to him, what have you really learned? What have you really learned? And the classic passage, I think, is found in verse 6. These are the things that sheep has learned. And he says to us, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The sheep knows certain things. And you, as a sheep that belong to God, should know certainty. The first thing in that sixth verse is this: surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The psalmist takes the position of the sheep and he says, this thing I know. Surely, surely, I have a certainty. I have become convinced. I have been won over as far as certain things are concerned. There's no doubt about it. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. The unbelieving world cannot say that. The unbelieving world knows nothing of that. You go into second letter of Timothy, or the second letter of Paul to Timothy, and he says this: I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him until that day. This is what the shepherd, the sheep, is saying. I have known something of absolute certainty. I know whom I have believed. My shepherd is there. He's got his rod and he's got his staff. And there's no doubt about it. And I'm absolutely convinced that he will do this. That's my shepherd. Dear people, what do you know about your shepherd? What do you know about the shepherd? Has he ever left you in the dark and the cold? Has he ever left you and grieved your soul? When he's fed you, has he ever poisoned you with unsuitable food or with unsuitable drinks? What are you convinced of about your shepherd? Do you know that shepherd? What have you been convinced of? Could you join in a chorus with that little sheep and say, I know what he's done for me. Surely he will keep me and help me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Wonderful thoughts. Wonderful, comforting thoughts. And then we can also make our way through that passage. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Goodness is a noun. It's something that can be touched and seen. And we, as those that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, can know goodness. We can know goodness. The Old Testament in Exodus 34 And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. This is our good God, our good shepherd. I have also tasted mercy, that sheep will tell us. I've also tasted mercy, kindness reaching down to the needy. There are times when I've not been in a deserving state. There are times when I've not been as I should be, and I have forfeited all hope and all expectation of kindness. But then, the wonder of wonders, this mercy and kindness have been a part of my experience, and that kindness and that goodness has come from heaven. Those times when I have not done unto others as I would have them do unto me, when I've not trusted God as I should have trusted, when I've had a hard feelings toward other people and I've felt threatened by mere men. And then I, as a sheep of the flock of the Good Shepherd, when I should fear not men, but I have feared men and women who my shepherd has control of, and all of a sudden I've felt, in spite of myself, that that help has come. At the feeding of the 5,000, at many of the miracles that our Lord did in the New Testament, when they were dealt with, when they were done, when that group of 5,000 men plus, when it was all over, they knew something remarkable has happened. When Lazarus was raised, the people around knew. This man, not long ago, was in that grave and the stone was rolled against it, and now he's alive. And sometimes we know that God has done remarkable things for us. As a sheep, I can say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I have known what it is to have things follow me. I know of a certainty that there have been those that have pursued me. Goodness and mercy follow me. Literally, they have pursued me. They have pursued me. Imagine those sheep being led back into the communal town sheepfold where all of the shepherds gathered. The shepherd ahead of his flock, trying to get them all home, as it were, into that town sheepfold before the darkness falls. But one sheep, and we've all been that one sheep, I would dare to suggest, that one sheep, liking the feel that they've been in, the taste of that grass, but quite sure how grass can taste so sweet, but if you're a sheep, maybe that's a different thing. But that sheep is quite happy to say, let's stay. The children, let's not go now, Daddy, or whoever it is. Let's stay where we are. And the sheep wants to stay there. And while the shepherd is more concerned to get the sheep into the fold, this one sheep sneaks off. And he's there. And he wants to stay there in the fold. He wants to remain where he can get some good food. And as that sheep did so, one of the two dogs that were following the flock comes against him. And one of these dogs barks at him, growls at him, snarls at him, in order that that sheep will be taken where it should be, and not perhaps where it wants to be at that time. Eventually, the dog forces the wayward animal back into its rightful place. The name of that dog is goodness. Goodness and mercy have followed me, pursued me, not left me. This is what our shepherd is like. He won't leave until the dog has brought us back. And sometimes we don't like the dog barking at us. We don't like the barkings that come. We don't like the growls. But the other dog, the other sheep dog, as it were, is mercy. And mercy comes to us. He will do the same. There are times when the sheer goodness of God is needed, and it will be yours. These dogs will pursue us, and these dogs have pursued us, or we wouldn't be here tonight. There are times when you have been in need of mercy, sheer mercy, a stage beyond the simple goodness of God. As a true believer in Christ, you have both of these things, the sheer goodness and the extreme mercy of God. What privileged people we are, what privileged sheep we are. It's humbling to think of ourselves as sheep, woolly brain sheep. A number of shepherds that I've spoken to over the years have said that sheep are not the cute, cuddly little things that we often think they are. If there's two ways for a sheep to go, we'll always go in the wrong way. And we're like that. We are like that. Now, we can say, as sheep, to those that are interested in knowing, my shepherd has kept me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Another thing that the sheep can say is, I know my home. I know my home. Some years ago, a good number of years ago now, I was in the presence of a young couple. They were about to be married. They were in the middle of a dispute. There's nothing quite so awful as listening to the dispute of two young people that are about to be married. The parents of the girl in question were not overly pleased with this marriage. And during the course of this conversation, the young fella said to the girl, I think it's probably about time that you went back to your home, to your parents. And the girl said, and I think she was upset when she said it, she said, you've forgotten. I don't have a home anymore. I don't have a home. She didn't consider the place where she lived to be a home. Her parents weren't happy. Where's your home, dear people, tonight? Where is your home? I don't mean number 27, whatever street it is that you live in. Is heaven your home? Is heaven your home? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is that your fixed abode? Are you looking toward heaven? Are you sure and are you knowing and expecting that one day you will be there? There are many, many people today. I was approached this afternoon by one of them. She didn't have a fixed state of abode. Do you have a fixed place? As a believer, there is a place where you will dwell. There is a place where you will dwell. It's a place where you can say, this is my home, where my God is, my Lord. His house is mine. His heaven is mine. as long as he dwells there, I will dwell. The time aspect could never be calculated. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not for a year, not for 6 months, not for 20 years or 40 years, but forever. Forever with the Lord. That day, dear people, is coming. The Lord God is your shepherd. If you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where you will go. A number of years ago, an elderly woman lived in Cliftonville, just near to Margate. She lived in the house. It was her house. Her and her husband had bought it years before. But she lived with her unmarried son. And eventually, it was considered proper and right to change the ownership of the house from her to her unmarried son. This was done, and all of the legal paraphernalia was gone into. The son, eventually, not as a young man, but eventually he found a young lady and they married. And as a married couple, it was considered right and proper that the house be jointly owned, and all of the details went into. And then, years later, not many years later, but several years later, the couple divorced. The couple were divorced. And the son moved out of the house. And it wasn't long before, as the divorce had gone through legally and all of the rigmarole that went through, the house became hers. The house became legally hers. And the mother and her husband that she did not get on with, the mother was put out of her own house. The house that she and her husband many years before had saved and bought. She was put out of her own house. There are people and those that would put you out of your home. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There are those that would have you put out of where you should spend eternity with God. You and I have enemies who will try their hardest to force you out of a home that is rightly yours as a believer. Don't have any doubts about that, dear ones. There are those that would put you out. Your enemy once caused Adam and Eve to be forced out of their home. And he will stop at nothing from seeking you to prevent you from entering heaven. He will do that. He will seek to do that. But as long as you hold on to your shepherd, the one who comforts you with his rod and with his staff, and the one that assures you, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a tremendous thing for a poor little earthly sheep. But remember that you are a sheep of the flock that the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased and kept and will keep. And you can say with him, I will surely dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God help us and encourage us as we think of this sweet old psalm, probably one of the most familiar that we can ever think of.